So brilliant. Connor, can you put the PowerPoint up for me? Is that alright? I don't know what you've been doing this week, okay? The holidays. So for our family, the week after Easter, we always tend to go away for 3 days. And some of you are very impressed. But this week, we went to Madame Tussauds in London. Has anyone been there? If you haven't, we're going around going to our kids. They're saying, who are these, Dad? Who are these? Who are these? Then we came to the superhero bit, and I had to tell my children to get lost, because this is my bit, okay? Stop photobombing me. But that was me, being Spider-Man, and pretending to be a superhero this week. But can we fix our next slide? But in fact, I was pretending, but we had our own superhero this week in Vasti Ravine. So I'm going to get invited up here, and he's going to share about what it was in the Ukraine. Thank you, Pastor.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a blessed day it is today. Yeah. Once again, thank you all for your prayers and support. We will keep on praying. God, we need to see some signs on the way to Ukraine as well. And actually, we declared we are planning to go to Ukraine, I'm thinking 1 week before. And in that few days, all the church, inside the church and from outside the church, you all, support this mission trip. And me, Pastor Blessen, and Sean, we were traveling to Ukraine. And the first day, the Holy Spirit started to move. We got a good opportunity to share about Jesus Christ with Sean. And the first day, Sean accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The second day, that's another miracle. I have an opportunity to share the gospel because nobody is there to, in between two pastors, being a Sean is there. It's a good platform for us. And the second day, he said, I need to take the baptism. Second day. And Pastor Blessa is going to follow him. And, he was so, Sean was so, so happy. After I accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, you know what he said? He said, I can feel the peace. I can feel something good. It's my first experience in my life. After that, he rang his mom and shared, Dino, I had this experience. He started witnessing to others. And all the way to Ukraine, we experienced the protection of God. Mainly, we have the prayer covering from two churches. That prayer covering was amazing. It was a great protection. And once we reached Ukraine, it was so heartbreaking things there. Mainly in that camp, they were taking care of the people coming from different parts of Ukraine. And their main mission is to rescuing people from the war zone. Mainly, they are sending their volunteers to Kyiv, Kharkiv, and Mariupol, some that places. At the same time, their volunteers taking the needy stuff to the because of the children, I don't want to reveal a few things publicly. Because of data protection and all, we didn't take much picture or videos from there. Another blessed thing is, every day in this camp, they have the prayer and they are sharing the gospel with others. And distributing the Bible and the spiritual books. Even the police officers, they are coming. They are having the food. And, the people, they are singing the song. And, through the songs, the others are hearing about Jesus Christ. I said to Pastor Blessen, we came through different nations. And, I'm recognizing one important thing, that is how much we need to pray for our lives. How much we have peace in UK, how much we have lots of protection and lots of blessings in this country. We need to pray for our nation as well. We need to cover our nation, we need to pray more for UK. Same time, the people in Ukraine, they have more need, they need more prayers from us. Honestly, if I will tell you, if I get another opportunity, I will go there. And the funny thing was, after a few days after when I reached the home, you know, my children were excited. They were standing there. They were standing there with the party poppers and the flowers. In our nation, normally, the prime minister or chief ministers are coming. They are using the crackers, you know. Like that. When I came inside the home, my children, they used the party poppers. I was so, so happy. And once again, thank you. Big thank you for you all. Thank you for this much of prayers and support. And you know, the first when I shared about this mission trip to Pastor Jim said, he started to pray for us, and it was a real blessed trip. And Sister Amanda from US, Amanda and Pastor Blessing, they were working together in a few camps in Afghanistan as well. It was a good teamwork. And once again, thank you for everything. God bless you all. Thank you.
Isn't it incredible? And those of you who've been following the videos, when I got that video through, when I thought, imagine being stuck with two pastors for 3 days driving to Ukraine. I love it, the story of the fact the driver, Zisha and Sean, just paid to go drive the van, becomes a Christian on the first day. Isn't God amazing? God works in incredible ways. I'm going to encourage us just to keep praying for the Ukraine. Just keep lifting. Should we do that now? Should we stand together? Roger, let's just pray for my own. That country's going through so much. Yeah, I've seen videos of the Christians who are so incredibly faithful to God, still witnessing, still doing incredible bits of people at Pastor Ravine, other guys who are going in and taking food in. And let's just pray for a moment. Just use your own words just before God right now. Let's just pray that more miracles happen in our country. Father God, we thank you for the incredible aid workers, Lord, who are going out to the Ukraine, Lord. Father God, we thank you for the way that you're moving even in the midst of destruction. Father God, you're still bringing hope, Lord, even in the midst of despair. And Jesus, we pray for the Ukraine conflict, Lord. Sometimes we haven't got a clue what to pray for. But Lord, we pray that you would do a miracle there, Father God. Lord, that where there seems no hope, you will bring hope, Father God. We pray, Lord, through the ashes and the ruins, Father God, that you will do something incredible in that country, Father God. You would birth something amazing, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that war will end, Father God. We pray, Lord, against the attacks that are happening from Putin right now, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would surround Putin with Christians, Lord. He doesn't know, Father God, that will be able to speak words into his life, Father God. We pray, Lord, that you can speak dreams, Father God, into a situation. We pray, Lord, that in all the mess that is going on there right now, Jesus, that you will bring wisdom into that situation. We pray that in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right, we're gonna stay standing now. We're gonna sing our next couple of songs and worship God. And as we do this, we're gonna be taking up our tithes and our offerings. Thank you, guys.
Gave this up to lay down his life.
of the cross. We can stand in that power, and we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know what your circumstances are this morning, but God tells us he can do abundantly more than we ask or think. God is able this morning, whatever your circumstances are, he is able. He defeated the grave, and we can stand in that power.
That you reverse the fall, reverse when man messed up, went our own way. It's all through the power of the cross. You know what gives us hope? When we take this communion in a moment, we've got hope. You know, hope's a really, really powerful word. It's something that gives us drive, that helps us go forward. We've got hope that however messed up our lives get, that there's forgiveness and a fresh chance. There is hope that whether our messed up our lives get, that we can have an eternal relationship with God. There is hope that however messed up things can seem, God is still standing with us. There is hope that even in the darkest night, when Jesus was hanging on the tree, and I shared a few weeks ago, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We have the hope that God hasn't finished with us yet. And in a moment, I would encourage you to the dreaded noise, just open yourself up ready for action in the communion. You can grab your seats for this bit if you want to. We're going to share the bread and the wine together. But I want you to take the wafer in front of you for a moment, is that okay? I'm going to do a bit different and fit this slightly different thought today. But as you look at this bread in a moment, I want you just to say these words to yourself. This reminds me I have hope. Should we say this together? This reminds me I have hope. That the creator of the universe loved me so much that he came down and he's prepared to die for me to give me hope today. Let's share this bread as a sign that Jesus' body was broken for you, but that you've got hope. Now, after Jesus shared the bread, he took the wine, he blessed it, and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you. He said, drink this in remembrance of me. And then he said this. He says, I won't drink of the wine until the banquet. Or words to that effect. I'm not great at quoting scripture. And it gives us hope that there is going to be a banquet in heaven. That we're going to have hope of a new heaven and a new earth. That death isn't the end. Isn't that great? You know, sometimes it's a very solemn occasion, communion, but at the same time, it's also full of hope that we are going to share good wine, not cheap plonk, okay? Good wine with Jesus in heaven. It's going to be the best. And we have the hope that we're going to have it with Jesus. So let's drink this. The sign that our sins are forgiven through the cross. But a hope that he's going to return and we're going to share that meal with him. Amen. Just before we sing our next song, I think the youth are going to head out as well to dance their corn says. So all the youth want to meet at the back with Roy, that'd be brilliant. Strings broken. Oh my goodness. I know they're speeding the guitarist. So instead of that, Pastor Williams, you can lead us in worship instead, is that okay? Oh, no, wait, okay. I'm kind of in a pastor audience, he's going to come and preach. The rest is dead. Don't worry, Naomi.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? And good to be sharing with each other. And no strings attached now. We've got freedom everywhere, haven't we? Hallelujah. That's fantastic, isn't it? But all things work together for good. You know, if you've had me playing, and that would be bad. About 5 months ago now, I was in the Watch Night service in the Indian Fellowship, 31st of December. And I was asked to preach on the Watch Night service, which I prepared fresh and new, because we don't want yesterday's bread or yesterday's food, do we? We want something fresh. And then God said to me, when you preach to the other parts of our churches in the Chinese Fellowship, I've converted them as well, and in Silverdale, preach the same sermon. So I said, yes, Lord. And Pastor Jim gave you 2 dates. And the first one, he gave me instructions what to preach about. preach on the prayer. So I did. I prepared a message for that, a new one, on prayer. And so this is the one that I prepared before. And it's as fresh today as your breakfast was this morning. If you didn't have any breakfast, too bad. And it's the best meal out, isn't it, they say. And it's what I do makes a difference.
What you do makes a difference. And it's from Colossians chapter 3.
Is that one?
What's better than one mic? Two mics. Colossians chapter 3. What I do makes a difference. What you do makes a difference. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And it not only says it once, in one of the other verses as well, it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So when you do something, you've got to smile. Thank you, Julie. Whatever we do, but it's not always easy, is it, to smile at everything that we do or where we go and what happens. So God has given to every one of us a talent. The moment we were born and created by God and we came out of the mother's womb, God has given every one of us a particular talent. Just as our fingerprints differ, just as our faces differ, so the talents that you have and I have are different, but God wants you and I to use whatever he has given to us. Just recently, it seems that whatever you do in a company, even in National Health Service, I went to the doctors the other week, and before I even got home, my phone rang and it beeped, and it says, can you tell us, please, but with numbers, with a tick, how we managed you, how we got on? And it goes from, some go from 1 to 5, others go 1 to 10. And the first one, of course, is, yes, it's excellent, very good, not bad, very poor, terrible, you know, whatever. And it seems that everybody is checking on us what we do. And I wondered, and I thought, I wonder if God was up there in heaven and with us around us and sent us a tick box. I wonder, as you went out, you were given a piece of paper and said, well, how did Pastor Williams do? How did Pastor Jim do this morning? How did the musicians do? How did everybody do? You know, and it seems that everybody is watching us. Do you know when God stepped in right at the beginning, out of chaos, he brought order, the creation of the world. And after every day it said, it was good. But when he made man, he said it was very good. Isn't that one of the four ladies? No. Okay. But then God said, man can't live on his own. He needs a helpmate. Well, I never call Sue my helpmate. She's my wife or a very good friend. She's my colleague. She's my partner. Everything that you have. But what God started, he finished. And he said it was good. It says he even rested on the seventh day because he had finished his creation. And today, all those thousands of years on, everything in the world is still working. The sun still shines. The moon comes out. The stars come out. The oxygen that you and I need is there every day. The times and the seasons, yes,
the four of them. They may happen in England, and it's the only country I know where you get four seasons in one day. I witnessed that in May one year, where it snowed and it rained and we had sunshine and we had some wind as well. Everything happened on there. But in our world, our society, there are five great pillars that the world and your life and my life is based on. And every one of those is important. And we could be here all day. I'm just going to mention what they are and a few comments later on. Number one, the family. God, when he created the world, then created man and woman, then he created the family. He told them to multiply. And that is happening every day. Secondly, law and order. Thirdly, politically, royalty and government. Fourthly, religious beliefs. That's God, church, the Bible, and truth. And fifthly, our economy or finance. Five pillars. Not pillows, but pillars. God wants every one of us to be a pillar. Pillar, not a pillar. Not time to sleep now, folks. It's time to get involved. Every individual who has a talent which God has given us. If one of those pillars in our nation were to struggle, one only, the whole world would feel the impact. But the world today, every pillar is being shaken in every one of those departments. The family, religious organizations and things. Politically, you mentioned one name, Boris Johnson. And the news is full of it, worldwide, even in India, this week, where he's been. Because he did something which he's regretted. But there's not one of us here this morning that's never made a mistake. And if you've never made a mistake, you've never made anything. Because we've all sinned and all come short of God's glory. But thank God for his redemption and salvation, because he's given us a new life. Think about it naturally. How many young people have gone? But how many have made their bed this morning? How many did the washing up? How many have prepared for the dinner? How many have prepared for later? How many have pulled the toilet chain today? Well, when you think of family, imagine, I can't imagine, and I don't know if Pastor Jim, imagine if your wife stops doing your ironing and the washing and the ironing. And they don't do sewing now, they just go and buy a new pair of socks. But if you go back to Rose Jefferson's, the Haitian shore, things were different, weren't they? Things are so different and changed. But imagine the family. Imagine if your wife stopped doing what they're doing and the husband stopped doing, or the father. You would have to go and get a taxi, because they're taxi drivers, aren't they? Everything, the father. And also, mum, how many times do you hear that? I go down, mum, and I say to Sue, where's my tie? Does it match with what I've got on? You know, where's my shirt? She said, it's on top of my head. Everything's on top of my wife's head. You know, but if they stop doing what they're doing. Imagine Tony at the back. Hello?
Imagine the musicians stopped.
Imagine no one opened the door, church door. Imagine no one had cleaned the toilets here in the church. Imagine no one cooked anything. Imagine last Sunday, if no one did anything. What a position. Think it wisely now. The police force. No police. No courts. No legal system. No judges. No courts. No rules. No regulations. No restrictions. Imagine an industry that all stopped. Imagine school teachers. NHS. No nurses. No doctors. No teachers. And they don't do it. What I do, what you do in your job, whatever you do, makes a difference. The religious world, no pastor. No pastor. Lots of churches empty today, lots of churches closing today. No leaders. Only, I heard this week, only 9 students coming out of our Bible college. I know we've had a pandemic. 9 going into the ministry. When we look back in our year, different. Religiously, throughout our nation, we've been asked to pray for our nation. Where I look for the leaders, I look for the voice, I look for that, and I pray. Lord, let someone get through to the Queen. Let someone get through to Boris. Let someone get through to in the government. And before long, you suddenly realise how important you are and I. Say, people stopped discovering new ideas. You see, right from the very beginning, God created. God was busy. He spoke. Something happened. The Spirit of God moved. Something happened. There was a united effort. But God told Adam, he gave him dominion, authority, power to rule. He's given that to you and to me. God said to Moses, what is that that you've got in your hand? Use it. And he threw his staff on the ground. Something happened. And God says to you today, especially in this age in which we live, what is that in your hand? And the young man comes in now carrying a guitar. Praise God. What is it that God has given you? He's given you a voice, given you a hand, given you feet, as we heard earlier on. And there in the garden was the source of everything. God spoke to Adam every in the cool of the day, God gave him instructions. He told him to name the animals and everything else. God made the Sabbath and rested. Thank God, right? The Sabbath, every day is a Sabbath, Jesus said. Thank God that we can come to the house of God. And that is our responsibility as children of God. He's asked us, commanded us, to meet together, and even more so as we see the day of approaching. Not to stay away, to be in the house of God. Because I'll tell you something, the car park is a fantastic witness to the people around. They used to talk about it, full of cars, of people coming to the house of God. Thank God they're returning. Hallelujah. Amen. Later on, Jesus came. He had to leave heaven's glory to come down to earth. He said, who will go for me? I'll go. And he came. And he said, I will build my church. Hallelujah. And he is building his church. Hallelujah. This is God's church today, isn't it? Yes, he needs pastors. We need teachers. Just as an aircraft needs a pilot and a ship needs a captain. So it would be out of absolute chaos if everything stopped. So what did God do? He raised up leaders. He raised up people like Noah, Moses, David, Mary. Well, praise God, so many. When you look at Putin today, a leader, when we think of the disgusting things that are happening in our world today in Ukraine, here we see a man who makes a difference but for evil. May God raise up so many people in our Sunday school there. Raise them up to become missions, become missionaries, to become helpers, become teachers, washer-uppers, friendly hour leaders, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders. God needs every individual in this church, and we'll make a difference. We'll make a difference in this area, we'll make a difference in the Stoke-on-Trent. Hallelujah. Someone's got to get up and make a difference. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe that we've got men here who are leading us, Pastor Jim and his wife and family. We've got to support them just as we supported Pastor Edwin. He had finished his work, he'd done the course, and God had called him home. But God has replaced him. God raised up leaders. The Bible says, "To him who knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him, individually, it is sin." We know what is right. We know what is wrong. We know what is morally right. We know what truth is. We know what honesty and integrity is. We know the Ten Commandments. The world looks at the Ten Commandments, uses it today. Thou shalt not. The problem with that is, it's negative in one sense. Because God came along and he said, thou shalt not, but you thou shalt do. And there's a big difference between the nots and the do's. Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I've got to speak. I've got to do something. And that time, you know, the times when God says, come on, get up, get up, get out. And do something. Hallelujah. Oh, when everybody, you know, just to think where Pastor Praveen this week. There and back. Hallelujah. Dangers? Yes. Fraught with dangers. You know, you've only got to go outside and you can slip on a banana skin. Or people say, well, I better not cross the road. A bus might hit me. They, all the things they used to tell you. You become a Christian. You know, if you die tonight, you know, you might get knocked down by that number 10 bus. Oh, don't get on the number 10's way. But the great revivalist, Martin Luther, when he nailed that thesis to the wall, to the door, he said these words, "Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God." And those remarks brought about the Reformation, the Reform, because what he saw, all the rituals and all the laws of Catholicism, he changed it. The Church of England came, and then the Baptists have come, and the Pentecostals have come, and we've had people coming all through every centuries and decades, and here we are today in 2022. If you want a wicked world, if you want a dead, empty church, do nothing. Or you can say, as Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Hallelujah. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Those were on Pastor Edwin's lips before he passed away. Our text says, whatever you do, whatever it is, God is not a spoiled sport. I tell you, God blesses us as the service started with Pastor Jim's words. God is so good. God is so great. He gives us so much. And we've all been blessed, haven't we? Go to other countries and you see the difference. We are so blessed. But he tells us in Colossians how to do it. Do it whatever you do. Do it heartily, cheerfully, wholeheartedly, giving thanks to God. It's difficult. All of the times people will tell you if they work with me during the day, and then the student says, "Oh, sometimes you're so miserable, there are only volunteers, you know." Whatever you do. It's the same with church life. It's the same. Pastor Jim knows this from his experience. Working with animals, they say, don't work with animals and don't work with people. Well, go out to the desert, you'll probably find desert rats or something, I don't know. But whatever you do, put a smile on your face. People know the difference. I get asked that many times, why do you do what you do? Unsaved people, why do you do this? Amazing. It's because we love God and we love people. And there's a great need out there. Great need. He gives us a reason why you should do it. You do it, not for the pastor, not for anybody else, but for the Lord. And make a difference everywhere you go. Where did Paul get those words from? What did he say? And this is where I finish. Because he not only says, do that heartily unto the Lord, what does he write? He says, wives, plural, love your husbands. Oh, I thought one wife was enough, weren't you? Praise God. Well, we're celebrating soon. Hallelujah. Wives, that's their responsibility. Love your husbands. Or husband. Husbands, love your wives. So it's a husband responsibility. But it does add in that scripture, and don't be bitter against her. Oh, we're never bitter, are we, Jim? Never bitter. Never bitter. Children, obey your parents. Servants, serve your bosses. That's why we serve you. That's why pastors serve you. We're all here to serve. Elders are here to serve. Deacons are here to deaconate. You know, it's the word slave. Doulos. It's all there to do it. Employees, serve your employer. Employers, treat your staff right. It's all there. And so he said, that's the scope that you have. What you do makes a difference. I listened to a song, Songs of Praise, the other week, which played it in the Chinese fellowship. Daniel O'Donnell was singing and talking about his faith in God. It was a special day, a birthday for Daniel O'Donnell. He thanked Cliff Richard for his friendship as brothers in Christ. But the thing he finished with on that film was this statement: the smallest thing from you can be the biggest thing for someone else tomorrow. So what you do, what I do, whether it be small, makes a difference. May God help us, each and every one of us, to make a difference in our society, in our church, in our world, each and every day. Father, I thank you for the leadership of this church. I thank you for the people of this church. I thank you for the folks, Lord, who have just passed on, as we'll hear about later, Lord, who have been so great, Lord, being salt and light in the world and in the church. I ask your blessing to be upon every child, every teenager, every middle-aged person, every older person today. I pray for, Lord, the children in the Sunday school, for children in children's church, for every department head and departmental worker. I thank you for every leader, every house group leader. I thank you for everyone who's trying to make a difference. But I pray for those, Lord, here today who are just waiting to get involved, Lord, to do something. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them. And for those who perhaps have given up, Lord, perhaps with the problems that we've faced over the last few years of sickness and things that have happened, Lord, we just pray that we might get up, be brushed down, Lord, come afresh to you and say, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life and you, that I may love what you love and do what you would do. Amen.